Hallelujah. He arose, the Prince of Peace arose. Oh, hallelujah, he arose. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Amen. And Father, we thank you because Jesus Christ came and died for my sins and for sins of everybody that is here this morning. And also died for the sins of the whole world. The Prince of Peace himself, the King of Kings, the Lord of heaven and earth, he gave it up all for me. Father, such sacrifice, such love, there is nothing that can compare to it. We appreciate all you have done for us, Lord. We appreciate the sacrifice you made on my behalf and behalf of all. So that today there is an open door. The invitation is to all whosoever will believe on that tremendous sacrifice. They have the rights of the sons of God. We thank you, Father. We are humbled, Lord. We are humbled that you do such things for us. Amen. David said, what is man? What are the sons of man that you should even have a regard for them? Dust, nothing. But for thy glory upon us, Lord, we are nothing. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Usually at times when we speak on different things. Things that encourages us, blesses our heart, lifts us up. And then at times we preach some sober messages. A reflection time is almost like a continuation of what we had last week. About where the church is going, where the people of God are, and the things that will happen and will increase as the days goes by. These spirits has been from the beginning, they are not new. But some of them are manifesting more and more and becoming bold every day. And so what do we need to do is we need to stand firm on the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So by the grace of God this morning, we'll be speaking in a topic that I call the cross before the crown. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The cross, the cross that Christ was crucified on. I said the cross before the crown. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I will try not to take too much time this morning. But I want us to pay attention, and I believe the Lord will bless your heart. Amen. Let us open Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Hallelujah. In Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said unto his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If you go back later on in the book of Peter, he mentioned about the crown of life. The crown that Christ has given to them who will be victorious. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But there is something, a pattern I'm seeing in the household of God among the believers that is wrong. And that is placing the crown before the cross. Not that once you get paid before you do the work. It doesn't work like that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You work and then you do what? You get paid. That is how it's always been. I don't know who will hire you and pay you first. and then you come and walk. No, you walk. At the end of your 30 days of walking or whatever, or 2 weeks, you get paid. That has always been the pattern, and that will be the pattern with our God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many believers are wearing the cross instead of daily carrying the cross so that we can obtain the crown that follows. Following Christ is not easy when the going is good. But our true commitment to Christ will be revealed during the midnight hour when the cost is high and self-interest is at stake. The church has formed the habit of presenting the crown while hiding the cross. That is why we have so many Mickey Mouse Christians in the household of God. They came seeking the dividends of what Christianity holds. They came seeking the things, the crown, the reward. But they are not ready to carry the cross. They are not ready to do what it takes to win the crown. And when we go on further in this ministration today, you may see the pattern in your life in some areas where you have put away the cross, hidden it, you are not carrying it, or you are just wearing it like so many people today. I was watching the news when the president went to give the wonderful speech at the tragedy that occurred, and I saw so many great men of God, and they had all this regalia, all this kind of stuff, every one of them, one kind of one big crown and stuff and so on and so forth. You know, it's just a symbol. You go these days, some wear the crown in different ways, some wear the cross or in different ways. Some tattoo it, a cross, in this place, even in some unmentionable place, they tattoo the cross. They wear it in their neck in gold, silver, and so on. That does not mean that you are a Christian. The cross has become a symbol. You know, maybe some of I'm not against you wearing whatever. It's up to you. But when we wear the cross, it is different from when we carry the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The culture of wearing the cross, tattooing it, wearing a shirt that is printed with the cross, and so on and so forth, it's all good. To some extent, maybe, not talking of tattoo here, maybe the shirt with the cross on it and so on. But that is something you can take off anytime. That is something you can wash off anytime. That is something you can brush off when you want. But when you carry the cross, there is a spiritual meaning to carrying the cross, which many of us are relegated to the background in our daily walk with Christ, carrying the cross of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What does it mean to carry the cross? Does wearing the cross mean that you are carrying the cross? What of the definition that people has given this day about carrying the cross? Many wrong interpretations abound about carrying the cross. And I said here, you are not carrying the cross when you fail to capitalize or cash in on the promises of the word of God. Don't quantify it as carrying the cross. Some people say it is a cross I have to carry. The sickness I have is a cross I have to carry. This burden that the enemy has laid on me is... No, that is not carrying the cross. You do not capitalize. You do not capitalize on the promises of the word of God to take you out of bondage. Either bondage of poverty, bondage of sickness, bondage of unhappy marriage, bondage of children that are laborious, bondage of different things in the world. Even the enemy suppressing you, those are bondage. It does not necessarily qualify or quantify as carrying the cross that Christ has told us to carry and follow him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. People, because they will not exercise what God has given them, I hear them at times say, this situation is my cross to bear. No, it's not your cross to bear. That is not what Christ is talking about. He's not talking when the enemy has suppressed you. It is something, carrying the cross is something to do with you and Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 So when you hear people saying, I'm carrying the cross, and you see them sick, pray for them that God will deliver them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And tell them to go and carry the cross in the real way. Now, what did the Bible say in Luke chapter 9, 57 to 62? Luke chapter 9, 57, please, if you can open it for us. Luke chapter 9, 57. And it came to pass that as they went in a way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. He invited himself. Let's move on to 58. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nothing where to lay his head. In other words, the cross he was going to invite him to carry is not nearly the one that you see the immediate result. Even the master himself have nothing to show as of them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Continue, please. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. We are coming to explain these points later on. Continue to 60, please. Jesus said unto him, lay the dead, bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. 61. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And what did he say in 62 again? And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand in the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We are not going to try to explain this point here now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In a few words, we'll explain it later on. But what I want to point out here is that in each case, there is an important part that Jesus pointed out to each one of these people, either the ones that invited himself, either the ones that were invited. It's about denying yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Denying yourself. What did he say again in Matthew chapter 16, 24? If any man will, Matthew 16, 24, if you can put it up again, let's read that part one more time. He says again, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The integral part of carrying the cross is not that the enemy will heap burden on you and you say, I'm carrying the cross. It's not that the enemy will cheat you of what the promises of God has guaranteed, and some interpret it as carrying the cross. The important part of carrying the cross of Christ Jesus is to deny yourself. In other words, put yourself behind. In other words, put Jesus Christ before. There is a song we sing a letter, say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No going back, no going back. The cross before me, the world behind me. But that is not what we are seeing in the household of faith. The cross is no more before us and the world behind us. It is more like the other way around. The world, the crown, the things of the world before us, and then the cross is hidden. Because we are not living an exemplary life for Jesus Christ. Denying yourself, yielding our right, is one of the things I see these days that doesn't happen. Especially when society urges us to demand our right. Society is so much, it's becoming part of us that we fail to deny ourselves when Christ demands it. because we seek our right. It's become a dangerous thing even in the household of God, in the family. Our right, my right, this right, that right. I said here, yielding our right when society urges us to demand it, it is one of the examples we must show if we are Christian. Must we as Christians have the last word? Ask yourself that question. Always in their right, give that peace of mind to give your peace of mind, as the saying goes, and so you open your mouth and utter word that is not becoming of Christians. At the moment of anger, at the moment when the enemy is at work. And some of us say, I will call it as it is. And as the saying goes, calling it as it is, when Christ has demanded it, that we yield in certain cases. I say certain cases, there has to be wisdom. I'm not going to go into some of the things that happened within the past 3 weeks in connection with me, with people who call themselves Christians, and what came out of it. And so you yield, you pull back, you allow the other person to win, quote unquote, and they turn around and call you a wimp. But you are a wimp for Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christians are no more in the habit of carrying the cross, denying themselves. They are more into what is their right. They are more into what they want than what Jesus Christ wants. And this is not building up the household of God. One of the qualities of carrying the cross is to be able to deny yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Deny that part that want to say it all. Deny that part that want to say it as it is. Deny that part that want to call it as it is. Deny that part that want to give it back just like it is. And say, because of the cross, blessed be the name of the Lord, I yield myself to that cross. Humility is one of the ways to carry cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Humility is a requirement in carrying the cross. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Before we move on, let's read Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, everybody please. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, in aspect of denying yourself. Galatians 2:20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Thank God for one of our, I believe, a prefect in our school when I became a Christian that explained this part to me so many times. It started to make sense. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the attitude of a Christian who is willing to deny themselves and say, I don't live again because I am crucified with Christ. The life that I live now, and I live in the flesh, that you see, I live by the faith of the Son of God who lived, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Moving on to humility, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. Before we read that, I'm reading now some here. It says, humility in today's Christianity is a joke. I don't see much of the humility that is in Christ Jesus in the nature of the people of God again. I say, God help you. I'm using this as an example. If you do not call or recognize me as a high Paul apostle these days, that is what it has boiled down to. If you do not recognize that person as a reverend, Some call themselves doctor, chief, prophet, whatever it is. And they do so many things in the name of Christ. I got a poster. Somebody inviting me to come and do something in the name of Christ. And the bishop who was supposed to speak there, I looked at him, and I don't know what he will speak or preach, but just looking at him turned me off. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, every kind of ring you can ever think of. And he took the picture in a pose that shows that ring on these five fingers, gold and diamond and whatever, and the other one, big chains, every kind of one, and on top of it, he was a bishop of some type. Today, we hear in the news of men who call themselves great men of God asking the church to buy them $65 million jets. $65 million. And when they started asking him, what and what do you need $65 million? Because he needs to go preach the gospel. I saw some books in my house, and one day I was looking at a news. The woman that has some of these books I've read, he has a toilet that is made of gold. All in the name of Christ Jesus. Where you poop, made of gold, and you're a preacher. From people tithes, from people offering, from people who at times cannot even manage to buy have things for enough for themselves, for their children. But because they love Christ, they took part of what they have and give that widow's mite. And you buy toilet seat made of gold with it. And you buy $65 million jet with it. And you go in a convoy with planes, with this thing, and the bishop and the pastors and the reverend wife are living like kings. What part of carrying the cross is that? Is that the nature of Christ? Is it a shame in Christianity what we see these days? I stopped watching some channels, Christian channels, because of what I see. It's money mongering. Almost war mongering. It is not godly and it can never be godly. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When people make merchandise of the gospel, when people don't see, they want to wear that crown, reap all the benefits, not because they feel they are entitled to it. Remember a great man of God that God has used all over the world. A multi-billionaire wanted to give him so many things, he felt his spirit is strong. Yes, sir, I'm not taking it. He said, Reverend, no, you don't have to be sorry for me. He said, I have so much from here to that. If you look my ranch, you ride a day, and then another day, you cannot get to the end. You ride the other one, that I have so much wealth. You can't take this, it's nothing to me. The man of God asked him, you have all these things horizontal here. How much more do you have vertical towards God? He said, I fear none. He said, that's the problem. Today, if the Christians we have today, they will not present Christ first, but they want to the benefit. They just want the benefit. And why I'm talking about these people, look at yourself. Think about yourself. Are you carrying the cross in your own small way? Or do you want the crown, all the crown in this world, negating the cross? Humility today in Christianity, I say it again, is a joke. For the sons and daughters of God, today norm is a blazing look. People do no more care about the way they even present themselves as Christians. I can name so many people in this church that are packed and leave. Because somebody called them aside and said, sister or brother, whatever, this thing, the way you dress is just too this thing, and they don't want to listen. No humility. I've had some that come to me and say, because somebody said that. You came to church looking like something that is in Van Buren. You put yourself, it used to be that when you see a child of God, a mile away you recognize him. You see a daughter of God, a mile away you say, this is a child of God. Today we compete on who will look worse than the others. Worldly. Even in the household of God. We are all here talking about gay and homosexual and their sin, their abomination. It is evil. But so also is lack of humility, so also is lie, so also is every kind of sin. They are all sin. God has called us to something special. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't look too high on the homosexual spirit, control them, demonic spirit, and so on. But what of you? It's what you gotta ask yourself. Do I make myself separate? Am I always on attention? At any time, any point, to be an advocate, an ambassador for Christ Jesus. I said here, is today norm is the blazing look. Arrogant attitude. That winsome, meek, and quiet spirit. The uncorruptible, hidden man of the heart, which is in God's sight, of great price is lacking in the household of God. The meek and quiet spirit. You come around that person, you immediately feel the anointing. You feel the peace of God. You feel something different about them. You know that you come in the presence of something bigger than you. Because that person is in Christ Jesus. We do not even remember who we are again in Christ. It is a shame. The cross is a symbol of yielding, persecution, and martyrdom. Not punishment as was designed by the Roman medieval empire for slaves and traitors by crucifixion. In those days, when you carry the cross, in the medieval time, it was designed as a form of punishment for only two types of people, traitors to the state of Rome and slaves that were owned by Romans. If they sin or do anything, they punish them, they crucify them. That is why it is a very, very low kind of death. And look at here, as we said, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 8. Please, can you put in Philippians again, chapter 2, verse 5 and 8. Christ went through this, the lowest form of death for a purpose. Philippians, not Ecclesiastes, Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5, Philippians, blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, it says Philippians. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's go quickly, please. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can somebody say it with me? Made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. That is the path of the cross. Then God has highly exalted him and given him name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. That is the crown. The crown did not go before the cross. The cross went first, and then the crown of life followed. Exaltation, promotion, blessing. People are asking, how am I going to make it in life? I say, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and the Lord will make way for you. So the Romans designed it to be a means of punishing people. The easy Christian life is about to cease. And no matter what we think, we cannot eliminate this movement. It is designed for a purpose and will be allowed for a purpose. It is time, almost time, for God to filter, sanctify, purify the household of God. I said in my early quote that Christianity, that you will know who is a child, who is a true child of God, when the midnight hour comes and self-interest is at stake, and there will be loss to you because you are a Christian. Right now we live an easygoing life. Christianity here, we come to church. We dress up, we come to church. We sing, we go home. We give our tithe and offering, and we bless the name of the Lord. When your job, when your life, when your reputation will be at stake, will you be able to stand for Christ? He asked a man in the while they were talking about the gay lesbian issue, what if they come to church and start saying, "You reverend?" The man said, "The reverend said, I'm scared. I'm afraid because I see that this will result in persecution. This will result in jail. This will result because they will now say, let Emmanuel marry a man to a man, or a woman to a woman, and so on and so forth. And if you don't do it, this will happen to you." You think this will not happen? It will. There's persecution coming. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But who will stand like Daniel in the days of persecution? I said to my heart, I am not afraid, because I have prepared my life or myself. I've decided to follow Jesus even at the point of death. Quote me, even at the point of death. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That may have to be an attitude, and we see who will back it up with action in the next few years, even in this country. So the Romans designed the cross to be a torment, but Christ wanted us to call it as a symbol of yielding, a symbol of humility that is lacking in the household of God. Our forerunner did not have it easy. At the end of the time, the same shall apply. How many will answer the altar call if we present it as it is? If we present the altar calling people to Christ, if we present it as it is, and I write it here, I say, if the altar call is coming to Jesus, if we present it and say, instead of telling people, giving the crown away before they even carry the cross, and say, "Come and follow Jesus, he will bless you. Come and follow Jesus, he will heal you. Come and follow Jesus, he will give you this and that. Come and follow Jesus for the benefit, for the crown," which is the typical things we hear in presenting Jesus to people. And of course, everybody wants something nice, so they come for the crown. What if we present Jesus the way it is actually is and say, "Yes, come to Jesus. But if you come, you may lose your family. You may lose your reputation. You may lose your self-esteem. You may lose your career. And possibly, you may lose your own very life." Do you know that is the calling we have? And somebody's probably here is already crossing themselves. It's not my portion. It can never be my portion. That is not from the Lord. But that is what we are called, that you may lose your own very life for Christ Jesus. That is the cross. If the master lost it, why not we? If he gave it all for me, is it impossible that you may be demanded of that? Or will you deny him at that hour? As we round up, I'm skipping some of the scriptures here. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36 to 37, using that as an example in book of Hebrews 36 and 37, to show you that the Christianity we have is not an easy one. People has already gone through it. Can you put on Hebrews 11, 36 to 37? And you see that people gave it all up, just like Christ. And others have trials of cruel mockings and scourges. Yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment, 37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. We are tempted. We are slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. That is the cross we are cried to bear. We have to yield it all, and it's coming. I say the good thing about it is that there will be a shifting. The tares from the wheat is about to happen. Several years ago, God gave me a dream. And I see it coming in this land. That there will be a trial, a purging, but it will be good for anybody who is truly a child of God. Because by then you can say, I'm a child of God. Because when that time comes, you will make a decision, I have decided to follow Jesus. Or I will not follow Jesus. And maybe these things that call themselves Christians that is there may start to weed out. And those who will be for my God will be for my God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's stand on our feet. A man we know, his name is Moses. He had it all. He had everything you can ever think of. Money he had. He was a prince of Egypt. The Bible says that Moses chose the cross before the crown. He willingly, for the sake of Christ, gave it all up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the sake of Christ, he gave it all up. We may be called to do the same today. It will not be good if I close this without bringing one part also, and that is the part of the crown. Can you open Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, please? Matthew 19, 27. Matthew chapter 19, verse. And then Peter said, answered and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? It's a legitimate question I want you also to ask. We have forsaken all and followed thee. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Jesus answered him. And Jesus said unto very, I say, that ye which have followed me in this generation, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the tribes of Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brethren, that is the part of the crown. Let's quickly look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 also. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter 5, 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Brethren, if we are to be partakers and joint heirs with Christ, in receiving the crown, we must be willing to carry our cross and follow him. There will be no crown of victory without the cross. Let us therefore lay aside every weight and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy thou set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us make a decision to follow Christ and start to ask ourselves, am I carrying the cross? If you are not carrying the cross, well, it's time you carry that cross so that the crown will follow. See, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. As we sing this song, you start to pray for yourself. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, Jesus. No turning back. That wall be high. That wall be high. That cross before me. That wall behind me. That cross before me. That wall behind me.